If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love and light of the One Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is the role and importance of the human personality. We've dealt with every other area of your life, so now we're going to look at the enchilada down here that walks your spirit around as a living temple. So let's start with an attunement and just take a deep breath and relax. Just allow yourself a moment to occupy fully yourself. And just have a sense of appreciation. Wow. What a masterpiece. It may look like a mess to you when you look in the mirror, but you can take it from every enlightened master and saint, an avatar that has ever spoken on the planet. And they will tell you that you are divine. From head to toe, you are an embodiment of divinity. Now, why in the world any one of us would ever choose to identify with lack, limitation, and negativity and darkness? Well, you know, it's one of those peculiar quirks of human nature. You know, there's a lot of energy down here, a lot of different states of consciousness. And to walk in the integrity of who you are, well, first you have to get to know who you are. Because to get to the core of God, at that greatest part of yourself, you have to go through the human personality and get to know what you're all about. What makes you tick? Why do you like green eggs and ham and Dr. Seuss and another person thinks it's silly nonsense? What makes you you? And it's that uniqueness that is so precious. And before a person is enlightened, it seems that they are imitators. They like to imitate the movie stars or sports figures or whoever. But they're not free to really exercise unique individuality and to be comfortable in their own skin. You know, to have that gnarly bodaciousness to just let it hang out as though who and what you are without self-consciousness, without self-judgment. Being authentically you. And I've noticed in the many, many enlightened masters and beings that I've been privileged to meet and interact with in my life, that they're all characters. Every one of them is an outrageous character, larger than life. They almost without exception, have ready humor. They laugh easily. They take things lightly, like an angel. They're not dead serious. In fact, the only ones that are dead serious are people who think they're limited, lacking human beings. They're a joyless lot. You know, they've always got a furrowed brow. They're always worried about something. You can't see any evidence of divine radiance and bliss anywhere in their countenance because they keep company with falsehood, And when you keep company with the falsehood and the thoughts that accompany falsehood, lack, limitation, a warring spirit of againstness, a critical tongue and mind, those kind of companions darken the countenance and cause it to age prematurely. Because you know what? When the body is used lovelessly, it begins to self-destruct. That's why we have death. Because only your divinity and the love that you truly are of your authentic beingness inherits immortal life. And when you pass from this shell, the suit of clothing that you call your physical body, the only thing you're going to take with you is the love that you gave and the love you received. Only the loving goes with you to God, because God is love. And if it's not of love, it's a shadow, something that you've looked into and somehow identified with, but it's got to dissolve in the light of your love. Has to. And the only way it's going to do that is if you shine the light of your countenance through your eyes, inwardly and outwardly, on yourself. And begin to peel away those things that are not of the loving and of the divinity, because they're not real. You do not have to process them. Now, people process their stuff. They're wasting their time. They're putting energy and thought and focus on the shadow. And the more you focus on it, the stronger it's going to be. Instead, take what I just said and have tea with it. You are divine from head to toe. You are made in the warp and woof of divinity. Everything else that shows up that's not that in your appearance and judgment is a temporary shadow that your light will cause to vanish. So it's the exercising of the light. What is that? It's bringing to conscious awareness that statement I just made, that you are an embodiment of the divine. That's all you need to know about yourself. I am divine. I am one with God. God's nature is my nature. God's mind is my mind. God's heart is my heart. God's love is my love. So when you realize that every single cell in your body is a divine matrix of holy light and sound, harmonics, that it is made in absolute perfection, lacking nothing. So the experiences of lack and the experiences of the shadow come when we're out of touch and out of harmony with that original divine chord, that Bhagavad Gita, that song of God that you truly are. So, consider this, if you will, as a visual. Consider a beautiful Himalayan peak covered with snow. Well, it'll have to be in the lower Himalayas, won't it? Because when I was up in the higher Himalayas, they were bare. So maybe I should have picked the Alps. Okay, let's do the Alps. Imagine the Alps full of pure white snow. Now consider that that snow is made of gazillions, numberless snowflakes. Every snowflake is a unique geometric pattern. There's no two alike. Those snowflakes are like your individual souls, the jivatmas. and the overall snow field that contains all of these jivas, or externalized aspects of divinity, is like Atma, or God, or Spirit. Now consider the fact that you as a soul are unique. Everything about you is a one-of addition. You are a masterpiece from the top to the bottom, inside and out. For example, your blood carries the entire genetic codes and soul history for every single embodiment you've had throughout existence, which, in terms of your God essence, is without beginning and without end. Which has to mean that you are intrinsically one and woven into the very DNA of deity itself, or that snow field. Whatever you can use as your metaphor, so that you know that you're in God, and God is in you, and there's no separation except where you choose to identify with seeing difference and separation. And you can change your mind and choose again. So every drop of your blood, if it was studied by an esoteric scientist, or just a regular scientist, or actually it'd have to be an esoteric scientist to be able to see into the encodements of your soul matrix and history. And that's why some religions forbid blood transfusions from another person, because you're literally taking in their whole karmic life imprint and mixing it in with your own. Now, the irises of your eyes are unique, as are your fingerprints. The cellular memories encoded in every one of your cells is unique. The specific lines on your palms and the soles of your feet are unique. When we were doing Ashtar Command Ascension Activational Workshops, we were traveling throughout Great Britain. And when we were in actually it was the Isle of Wight. I was going to say Scotland, but it was the Isle of Wight. And we met a Scottish seeress, clairvoyant. And we had a reading with her. It was a very interesting reading. I never even knew such readings existed. Maybe she invented it. I don't know. But she would have us put our feet, bare feet, in this large container of small stones. And, you know, she would have us sit there for a while in meditation. And then she would have us remove our feet, and she would read the soles of the feet and how the stones had adhered to the bottom of the feet. How interesting. What an interesting way to read the essence and consciousness of another person. But you and I know that a good psychometrist can do the same thing. They can pick up the psychic impressions and sediments on objects that have been used by people. I think that's why I dislike antiques so much. I've never been able to use antiques or used clothing that you'd get from the Goodwill. I pick up the thought emanations of the people, which in most cases aren't particularly high. So, you know, you get to a point that you become increasingly sensitive to where you want to import into your life only those things that have the highest, cleanest, purest, most refined vibration. You'll find that that applies to your clothing, the objects you have in your home, the foods that you select. That's why you're in a constant process of metamorphosis as you are transitioning from being an animal human to a true human to a superhuman to a transhuman to that which is beyond humanity itself and becomes a living God, a Lord of Light. So it's a gradual process of going from the gross and the densest to increasing refinement of light attunement, of awareness, of consciousness, and you become very, very sensitive to the vibrations around you. That's one stage. At the part when you become totally one with God, that begins to soften to where you experience everything as yourself only. But most of us are in that stage where we still sense the vibration and the disparity between the grosser manifestations of consciousness and those more refined states that emanate from the true resonant field that we would call the spirit or the soul. So your DNA and the strands of your hair, which are extensions of your consciousness and light manifestation, and your individual consciousness itself, your personality, even the specific frequency of your heart coherency, your love, all of these things are unique only to you. It's really amazing. We're literally an unrepeatable incarnation of one divine atmic essence. Amazing. So our perspective of life is also unique. Our way, our lens of perception, how we interpret our reality, our overall mentality and mindset, all these things are unique and more, but I think you get the picture. So that's why it's so important to know yourself. And moreover, to be yourself to the extent that you do know yourself, keeping in mind that until you really become the one self that is, and you awaken and you find that you dwell in the hearts of all beings, until you get there, manifest the truest representations you possibly can of what is authentically yourself. Be honest, honest, one with that which is, that you take to be yourself at any given cycle of your life. So no one else but you can be you. And while only Jesus can be Jesus, everyone can and is destined to manifest the Christ. Everyone is to be the Christ. So instead of saying Jesus Christ, say Sally Christ, or Noel Christ, or Athena Christ, or whatever name your name is, Samuel Christ. And Christ means the uniquely begotten son or manifestation, fruit of the Creator. And it also means the anointed one. So we are all the uniquely begotten sons, which is proactive light of God. And we're all, in terms of our creative in terms of our material form, we are all daughters of God. We're all the bride of Christ, because the material level is the mother. And so to God, all of creation is feminine. We're all the receivers of Purusha, or that divine spirit. So this seminar, we want to focus on considering the role that your human incarnation plays and its significance and vital importance. So let's ask for the light of divine revelation from the Spirit of Truth that dwells in you to reveal to you whatever information would be appropriate for you this evening or this morning, wherever you happen to be, so that you can begin to appreciate more your divine personality. Your personality is the living stone in which the presence of the living God dwells. Eventually, there will be no need for outer structures of temples and religious icons, because we will all have an awakening awareness that we're all living temples in whom God dwells. And we'll begin to honor our body and other people's bodies as living temples in whom the divine dwells. And we won't want to hurt them or abuse them or kill them or bomb them or create war and conflict with them. We will do namaste. I bow to the divinity within you. The Christ within me sees and acknowledges and reverences the divine within you. That will be our attitude, the namaste, the bowing with the hands together. Great humility and reverence. And the closer you get to God, the more you see God in others. So you get to the point where you live with God 24/7 because that's all you see. You know, when you keep thinking of something and thinking of something, you become that something that you think about all the time because your energy takes the form that your mind gives to it. Huge key. So create imagery that is divine so that you keep company all the time with the Lord. So we're taught in almost every spiritual discipline that we're to be focused upon transcending and moving beyond the human personality and expression. And so sometimes on a spiritual path, we begin to minimize that. I know I certainly have in my Eastern training, minimized the importance of the body and the human personality. So I'm kind of preaching to myself this evening in the sense that I need to hear what I have to say about this because I need to learn it. So you always teach what you need to learn, right? So the focus has been upon the impersonal self, the cosmic self, the multidimensional self, the superhuman self, the Christ itself. And all of these are put forth as the ideal to be exemplified. And that's true, you know, in the ultimate sense. And we can live in that ultimate sense now as long as we don't dis or disregard anything that's part of our nature. In other words, you don't get to God by resisting anything that is, because everything that is ultimately is God. So just as the physical body, as it develops, outgrows successive sizes of clothing, you also outgrow former states of consciousness and manifestation. Even the demigods and the masters and the lords of the various planes of manifestation, every single one of them and us as we progress to the other dimensions, every single one of us keeps advancing and progressing beyond the previous positions that we've held. Nothing is static. The whole religious concept of dying and going to heaven and sitting and playing harps is a bunch of nonsense. We are engaged as eternal co-workers, divine co-workers, working in harmony with a formless spirit to bring divinity into form manifestation, not only on this planet, but in myriads of worlds. You know, we all have had lifetimes on other planets. Life has been seeded on this planet itself by numerous waves, successive waves, of extraterrestrial beings who landed and set up colonies to have a go at it with whatever, race they had. We've had purple races and blue races and green races and all different kinds of root races exemplifying different, biophysical experiments that were seeded on planet Earth. The first original sparking into individualized consciousness occurred when the Lords of the Flame came from Venus, and they sparked that which created the Homo sapiens 18.5 million years ago, and that was what was written by H.P. Blavatsky when she was the amanuensis for the Trans-Himalayan Brotherhood, and they transmitted that to her. And so that makes us minimally 18.5 million years old on this planet. And I know there's been other let's say, seed programs like the Anunnaki that were supposedly people who created a race that could mine the gold ore in the area of Africa. And there's been different people that have said, oh, well, we come from this, we come from that, we come from this. They probably are seeing their own genetic history. I come from Venus, so I don't relate to any of that. I specifically remember coming in to this planet with Sanat Kumara and with Lord Sananda Kumara and with the one who is now incarnated as John Roger and the avatar energy, which has been embodied as Satya Sai Baba. I remember that. That's like my roots. And so also you'll have an affinity towards a particular presentation of reality that is most familiar to you most recently. You know, obviously I have origins beyond Venus, but that's my most recent memory. And that was also the entrance into this particular cycle of time, 26,000-year cycle of time for me. So there are cycles within cycles within cycles that you will encounter as you begin to read the tapestry of your own soul's records. And you're the best one to do that. I mean, people like me have a gift to do that sort of thing, but I'm being guided not to do that for people anymore, but more to teach them how to do it themselves so they're not dependent upon someone else seeing for them or giving them information. Because it's only the information that you generate from your own inquiry and own through your own experience that you're going to retain. That's the only thing that you can retain is what you have owned through your own direct cognition and experience. So people that you would go to for counsel are good only to confirm what you've already gotten. Once you've gotten it, you can ask someone like myself, you know, is this accurate? Am I seeing this accurate? And we can sense the energy whether or not you're in alignment with it. But other than that, I think it's a waste of time to keep going to people and asking them to tell you what only you can find out for yourself and validate for yourself and make real for yourself. So make this life as beautiful as you can. Why identify with negative scenarios? All of those negative scenarios that people are fretting about and YouTubing about and channeling about are a bunch of nonsense. None of that stuff, they're all shadow plays in a reality that's being subsumed and dissolved in divine love. All of that's going to vanish because none of it has been real. It's been shadow boxing, shadow play. All of these negative scenarios, some of the things that have been channeled by Ashtaria, they just make my eyes roll. By the way, I want to put it on the record here. We of the Ashtar Command never, ever, at any time, endorse, sponsor, or try to influence your political choices on your own planet. It's none of our business. We cannot tell you who to vote into your political positions of leadership. That's your dharma, not ours. Moreover, you and your planet created your economic system, okay? Now you're being consumed by it because it was a miscreation. It was born out of greed. It was born out of trying to hold people hostage through indebtedness. It's a false creation. It's a child of your consciousness. You're going to have to deal with it. But it's yours to deal with. We do not sponsor any kind of a funding system whatsoever, regardless of who channels what, that is going to pay you a penny because we're not going to reinforce your miscreation. Your planet is your arena for self-mastery. Your political systems, your financial systems, the way that you have chosen to govern your lives and your planet, that's your 10 acres. I'll tell you what we do do. What we do is that we overview the consciousness membrane as a whole of humanity, and we look to see where we can insert light. And it's a malleable field. It's always changing. It's always moving and changing and adjusting, depending upon the flow of consciousness and its attention. But wherever we see the slightest opening, for example, when you gather to do anything harmonious, even if it's watching a concert or a ballet or a theatrical performance. If people come into one accord at all, in any form or at all, even in watching certain programs on television that are positive energy programs, which are hard to find, but when you do find them, or certain sporting events for people all over the world, like, for example, the Olympics, we use those opportunities to use the group energy as an opening to insert greater light. And we send the light of a particular frequency wave of love, goodwill, harmony, peace. It's kind of like a gardener spreading, nutrient on the soil. And the consciousness field is like the soil. But we do not, in any time, in any way, ever harm life. We never kill. We never implant. Anyone who says they're implanted has, they've encountered some astral entity or some astral races, because we don't do that. We do not implant anyone. We do not coerce. We do not do any of those things that I would say so very many people are channeling about now. So that would be my job to tell you, straight from the horse's mouth, if you will, that we don't do that. But wherever we can bring in a greater vibration of goodwill, harmony, peace, brotherhood, we're all about universal brotherhood. The kingdom of God found within and externalized without, in a world where people cooperate instead of compete, where they love and find ways to live together rather than to divide into separate camps and fight and hate. We're trying to dissolve that energy. Right now, you have an opportunity to enter into a new energy field with this alignment period that you're coming to at the end of 2012. And people are just beating the drums of againstness. They're just putting all the energy they can into the fear and the doom and the gloom and the drama. And if only a few thousand really committed disciples of the higher life can absolutely keep their focus out of that, I believe we can shift totally beyond that scenario or any possible scenario of that kind, so that you don't have to go through any of that. And I'm putting everything I've got into that energetically and working through the interdimensional Merkaba that I work through to see that that happens. And the more of you that can join me in that, the better. What does that look like? It means that you stop putting energy into what you don't want to have happen. Stop talking about it. Stop watching news and videos and listening to people that constantly beat the drum of doom and gloom and awful things. Do you really want that to happen? Do you realize as an initiative of the higher life the power that you have? Do you know the authority that you have when you know who you are? Say, no, no way, Jose, not on my watch. Not on my watch. I will not sponsor anything that is harmful to any sector of humanity. Be a person that is so for peace that you never, ever think that fighting for peace will work. That is a complete oxymoron to put those two words together. Once you're ready to, for all time, put aside conflict and to always seek the peaceful resolution where everyone wins, because if anyone loses, okay, if any single group, nation, person is harmed, it's not in that perfect divine will. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they are. Our dharma is to love. It's to send that vibration of love so strongly through our human personality that it dissolves the clouds of darkness. Only the light of your love has that power, because only that is pure divinity manifesting through you. Doesn't manifest through your critiquing, through the talking heads, through the, you know, debating, through the camps of polarized consciousness. It doesn't manifest through that. That's all ego stuff. The divine spirit is soft and sweet like a dove. That's why it's used, the dove symbol is used to portray the Holy Spirit. And it is holy. And it beholds the holiness in you and reminds you of it when you're working with another. That's that voice for peace. That's that voice for harmony. That's that voice for one accord. That's that voice for universal brotherhood. That's that voice that takes those guns and whatever and breaks them and smelts them down and turns them into pruning hooks and plows and begins to grow food. What we need to do is come together and feed people that shouldn't be starving, wherever they are. They're in our inner cities. They're in every place on the planet. That's where we need to be putting our energy and attention, taking care of each other and our environment. That's what the Ashtar Command is sending as a message. That is the message of Ashtar. That is the heart of Ashtar. That is the heart of Sai Baba. That is the heart of myself. That is the heart for every one of us that are of the forces of light. I choose to be that in the human body. It's a choice. Everyone is the chosen one. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had any prayer of a chance to have gotten in and have a human incarnation at this strategic point in history. So you were born because you somehow had a great desire to make a difference at this time on this planet. And the Great Spirit said, yes, go for it. And then you get down here and you forget all about it. And so I'm here as one of the many, many voices to say, wake up. Wake up. Be about the business of loving. It's all you're here to do. The judgment is not yours to make. You can't do a thing about fixing and transforming the world. The only thing you can do is to come into harmony with the love that you are and take that lower nature and bring it home to love. Give it all up to love. Everything. And love it all. You have a bad day? Just say, Lord, I'm just giving that over to love. You take it. Take the upset, the anger, the whatever. I don't need it. I only want love. Don't fight it. Don't process it. Don't wonder why you have it. Just give it to love. Because in that love, it dissolves into the nothingness. And only love is. Know this, that every form of negativity is a false appearance. Trying to appear real. And it will have reality only to the degree that you focus your mind on it. So the one thing that your human personality can do is choose. Okay? Choice is the gift of human individuality. And so it's very important that you make choices in harmony with the divine within you. You know, the ego, forget it. You know, that's again, that's another one of those shadows. Let me teach you a simple meditation, okay? This is from Sai Baba. The simplest one going, because you breathe, okay? So when you feel yourself getting a little out of kilter, a little off balance, a little out of sync, a little gnarly, a little snarky, cool your jets, sit down, focus on your breath, and as you inhale, go so, and as you exhale, go hum. And it's the cadence of the breath, so, hum. whole nervous system, your body-mind complex will begin to come into centered balance. When you breathe in soul, breathe in love. Breathe in God. And when you exhale hum, exhale anything that's upsetting you. Your pain, your anger, your upset, whatever, whatever. Breathe it out like so much dark clouds and just see it vanish in that love. So, hum. God, release. Breathe in God, release all the whatever. That is such a simple mantra in meditation. It also brings a harmony and balance between the inner core essence and the outer expression. So if you're feeling a little spacey, a little, I've been like feeling like I had a head made of clouds lately, really challenged trying to ground myself. And so the soul hum has helped me a great deal in bringing that balance between the inner light body and being able to reference and, you know, operate appropriately through the physical vehicle. So that's very, very simple. If you do that in the morning, you know, you lie in bed and do that before you leap out of bed, or at night before you go to sleep, or as you go to sleep, or throughout the day when maybe you're having a break, or whenever you can, it's so simple. In fact, you can do it when you're standing at doing your work or sitting at your desk. You don't have to sit in any particular posture. It's just your breath. But it's the intention of breathing in God and exhaling your upset or your ego or whatever, whatever. You got the idea? So those are simple little things. The journey of realization is an interesting one, because at some point when we're an infant, we get the sense that we exist. And so we move from that initial sense that I am, and we end with a full realization that I am that I am. And it's interesting to watch that as you develop spiritually, that your orientation and how you look at life and how you regard yourself in life shifts accordingly, just like the stages that you go, your body goes through as it grows from infancy all the way up through to adulthood. We have the same kind of process spiritually. So it means that you change constantly. You're constantly adjusting to a higher altitude of attitude and frequency band. The choice factor, which is so very unique to the human being, is where we need to really exercise conscious awareness. Because every single time you make a choice, you set in motion an entire chain of events. Because your choice has activated a certain domino effect of occurrences that are in alignment and harmonic resonance with that particular choice. Now, every choice that you make, that you step out and act upon, is what triggers that activation and manifestation. You can think about the choice and it will shift on a certain level in your higher consciousness, but when you take a physical action or step in alignment with that choice, then you see your outer environment begins to come into to play, to dance with you in that particular choice arena. So your decisions, even your little ones, are creating your destiny, creating your future. You're creating your future today by what you're thinking right now. So you are choosing which of the many possible outcomes for any given action or any given choice. There's multiple probable realities. You're selecting the one that you are going to activate. You see why it's so important to put energy where you want to create effect and nowhere else? That's self-mastery. When you consciously direct your mind direct your emotions, direct your behavior, direct your words and speech, direct your thoughts, so that they are congruent and in alignment with what you truly want to manifest. That's exactly why Sai Baba can think of something and it instantly manifests, because there's a complete harmony between what he thinks, what he believes, what he says, and what he does. There's no warble in the field, no warble in the force. So when we get to that, we find that that's true also. In fact, I find it's true in my life. You know, the more I come into that harmonic congruency in my own levels, I can't think of things, even slightly, that they don't manifest almost immediately in my life. I've been experiencing that for some time now. So there again, vigilance is the price of freedom. Continual vigilance, awareness, and being careful with it. You know, don't let life rush you. Slow down and be centered as you move through your life. So every time you make a personal decision and choose to physically act on it, you are then energizing it and setting it in motion. And then everything else just kind of comes in. People show up that are part of that dance. Events show up. The environment shifts to accommodate that picture of reality and that choice. That's the whole secret behind manifestation. So you are choosing your outcome for the end of the year. You are placing your vote on how you would like to see it happen for the planet. And if you prepare for a rainy day, guess what you're going to create? You know, people save money because they foresee some problem arising, and sure enough, the problem has to arise because you've been baiting it, you've been seeding for it, you've been putting money in the jug against this thing happening, and of course you're calling it to you by that very action. That's why tithing works. When you invest in the kingdom of God, when you invest in God's work, when you invest in supporting people who are doing God's work, you are actually investing in yourself, which is why you then reap the abundance. You are sowing into good soil. You're sowing into divine soil. So you produce an abundant divine harvest, because we live in an abundant universe. There is absolutely no lack anywhere. That's been imported by this false self. There's no lack and there's no limitation. These are completely erroneous mindsets. So unset your mind and set yourself free. You're the one that keeps yourself in bondage by focusing on lack. Did you ever see anyone focus on lack that became abundant? Of course not. How do you create abundance? Start sowing seed into that which is divine, because then you know it's going to manifest. Only what you invest with God and in godly ways is ever going to produce abundance. That's why sometimes when you help someone, even because it's like putting you at a detriment, you end up getting that much back and even more, because you've done it from a spirit of service and reaching out selflessly to help another. These are like really simple keys. But you got to step out of the herd sheeple consciousness and get a grip. Find out how things really work by watching people that know how to work the works, know how to do the do, know how to exercise that higher awareness. Well, study the people who are making these principles work, and do likewise. The time we are moving into now, actually shouldn't use the word time, because we're moving into no time. And that's a really, really strange state, because we're used to working with expectation and anticipation and projection and goals and goal settings and where do I want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now. None of that stuff works anymore. What works is the Eckhart Tolle kind of approach of being present with your love and appreciating what's there, dancing with it, having tea with it. Be here now and enjoy what's going on. Find a way to make it loving. Find a way to make it beautiful. Find a way to find enjoyment out of it, with it. Find a way to appreciate it. If you don't know what to do, love whatever's in your environment. Whatever it is. I don't care what it is, love it. If it's doing crazy behavior, forgive it and love it anyway. If it's hard to live with, love it anyway. If it aggravates you, love it anyway. Forgive it and love it anyway. That way, you're exercising that higher choice, that higher paradigm consciousness. All the time, all the time, all the time. Step out of the mass consciousness. It's an ego that's insane and running amok. The minute you see people congregating as talking heads on news or wherever, and they're bashing somebody in political office, or they're tooting their own ego horn, or they're trying to win at the expense of another person, or they're trying to bomb some nation because whatever, don't come into agreement with that. Don't come into agreement with that. Don't lend assent to dissent. Got it? Don't lend assent to dissent. Because dissenters descend. They don't rise up, they descend. We're in an energy of ascension, not dissension. Very important key. So if you want to ascend, end dissent and dissension. Those are activistic, out of state, out of, they belong to the dark ages, okay? The dark ages. We're entering into the age of light, the seventh golden age. And it's an age of universal brotherhood. We, as a planet, will be engaging in an intergalactic family of planets that have lived in harmony and goodwill for so long they don't even know how to spell the word war or explain it to their grandchildren, okay? It's atavistic, old school, out of sync. It's not what's happening in the universe. This universe, in case you've forgotten, is based on love, wisdom. The overall lesson for all universal life within this particular root race, in this particular 26,000-year Manvantara, is to know God as love. That's it. It's to work out universal brotherhood and goodwill, cooperative endeavor. And that's what we're here to do on this earth. Earth is the laggard, you know. It's the place where they send everyone that didn't quite get it on the other planetary rounds. So, kind of like that remedial school. But it's also the only place on the planet, according to Sai Baba, only place in the cosmos where you can return from human form directly to God consciously by an act of conscious volition and choice. So there's your choice again. So the value of your human personality is not only is it a unique expression of God that only you can gift back into the cosmos, but it's also so that you can choose consciously and of your own free will. So when you vibrate only at the vibrational rate of living light and the living word, that produces a state of beingness that we call the living love. And that's the vibration of the new paradigm. Now, when you vibrate in harmony outwardly with your inner light and sound, your expression is then congruent and in harmonic resonance. And you attract only things that are in harmonic co-resonance. Got it? So when you are in that state, you become then an attractive magnet for things that vibrate in harmony with that. and the other things can't find you because they're not in the same vibratory wavelength. They can't find you. You're in the living love, so, you know, darkness can't find you there. You step out of duality at that point. So what that looks like is a life that flows in perfect divine order and grace. It is a divinely peaceful life, centered, serene. No matter what is going on in the environment, it's a person that lives in their portable paradise. Not out of touch with things that are going on, but sees through and is the very harmonic resonance that establishes peace in that environment. A person that's centered in peace is a true peacemaker and a peace importer wherever he or she is moving. So peace everywhere in the outer world is experienced by a person that's living from that state of inner peace, inner harmony. And the more and more people that attain that level and live from that level of inner peace, peace will naturally radiate and spread throughout the world. Just like all stringed instruments in the form of a human being's nervous system will begin to co-resonate to that same keynote of peace that's sounded by you or me. So that's what we're here to do. The harmonic resonant fields of living love, living light, and living peace. And you choose whether you're activating peace and loving goodwill by those little decisions you make as you go about your day. So even in little matters, you can live in a state of loving harmony and peace within your own environment, whatever that is. And the only true purpose that we exist, that all, as individualized portions of divinity, so that divine source can actualize through us and be that flow of peace and sing individual songs of love through each one of our lives. We actually are a divine love song that God is singing to creation through the stringed instrument of our being. Our being is like a divine veena. It's like our body is like a flute, a chakra system. And the breath of God is playing sweet music through us and plucking lovely melodies through the veena of our stringed instrument. So every effort that you make to come into attunement, physically, mentally, emotionally, and on every way with the divine harmonics to that degree, will give you the song of God sung throughout time and space. And that is a song without ending and a refrain that will re-echo throughout infinity forever and ever with your unique resonance. Let's go out singing on IQ. Deep breath. On IQ. Good evening, Adonai.